Thank you for joining Reading International's earnings call to discuss our 2017 first quarter results. My name is Andrzej Matyczynski. I'm Reading's Executive Vice President of Global Operations. With me are Ellen Cotter, our Chief Executive Officer, and Dev Ghosh, our Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin the substance of the call, I'll start by stating that in accordance with the safe harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995, certain matters that will be addressed in this earnings call may constitute forward-looking statements. Such statements are subject to risks, uncertainties, and other factors that may cause our actual performance to be materially different from the performance indicated or implied by such statements. Such risk factors are clearly set out in our SEC filings. We undertake no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements. In addition, we will discuss non-GAAP financial measures on this call. Reconciliations and definitions of non-GAAP financial measures, which are segment operating income, EBITDA, and adjusted EBITDA, are included in our recently issued 2017 first quarter earnings release on the company's website. In today's call, we will also use an industry accepted financial measure called theater level cash flow, which is theater level revenues less direct theater level expenses. Please note that our comments are necessarily summary in nature, and anything we say is qualified by the more detailed disclosure set forth in our 10Q. So, as has been our practice, with that behind us, Dev will be talking to us about the financial results for the 2017 first quarter a little later. But first, I'll turn the call over to Ellen, who'll update us on the company's operations.
Thanks, Andre, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today and sending in your questions. Like we've done in the past, we'll try to cover as many of your questions as we can. Reading had a strong first quarter in 2017. At $69.5 million, our total revenues were the highest of any first quarter on record. And at $5.5 million, our operating income was also the highest of any first quarter on record. These results demonstrate the progress we're making on executing our three-year business strategy to elevate the cinematic experience for our guests and the continued redevelopment of our real estate assets to drive long-term value for stockholders. Our cinema divisions benefited from the impressive slate of films from the major studios, led by Disney's Beauty and the Beast and Fox's Logan. Also, in the first quarter, our global circuit performed particularly well with the film Lion. Our three cinema divisions in the United States, Australia, and New Zealand achieved several first quarter records. Calculated in functional currency, the U.S. and Australia had record first quarter performance for attendance, box office revenue, food and beverage revenue, and total revenue. The U.S. also had a record first quarter for theater levels cash flow. As you can see, we made progress in our first quarter, but we've also faced a significant challenge over the last 6 months due to a strong earthquake that hit Wellington, New Zealand on November 14, 2016. This earthquake required the demolition of our Tory Street parking garage, which demolition was completed in March of 2017. And our Courtenay Central Retail Center, including our Reading Cinema, was closed from the date of the earthquake through the end of March 2017. Over the last few months, we've begun the process of rethinking and redesigning the entire project. But also over the last few months, we've worked closely with our insurers and will be receiving the maximum insurance recovery of $25 million for our claims. We'll discuss Courtenay Central in greater detail during our presentation today. We'll also highlight the progress we're making at our Union Square property in New York and at Newmarket Village in Brisbane. Throughout our presentation, we'll also articulate the elements of our strategy and why we're confident in Reading's value creation opportunities. First, I'll address our cinema business. Our consolidated first quarter cinema revenues increased by 9% to $66.6 million compared to the same period last year. And our cinema segment operating income increased by 18% to $9.1 million over the prior year quarter. As I just mentioned, our first quarter 2017 cinema's results set a number of first quarter company records. A couple of global comments about the overall cinema circuit. All of our commercial theaters benefited from Disney's Beauty and the Beast, our global circuit's strongest movie of the quarter. Our specialty theaters in the U.S., led by the Angelika brand, performed quite well, thanks to the strength of certain award-winning movies like La La Land. We were pleased that the grosses of certain films playing at the Angelika New York ranked the first or second highest in the country. Those titles included Moonlight, this year's Oscar winner for Best Picture, The Salesman, this year's Best Foreign Language Film winner, Lion, a Best Picture nominee, and Elle, winner of a Golden Globe and Oscar nominee for lead actress Isabelle Huppert. Our U.S. cinema revenue benefited from higher attendance, which now includes the impact of the fourth quarter 2016 opening of our new cinema, Olino, by Consolidated Theaters. Favorable currency movements, strong film slate, and increased attendance generated improved Australian cinema revenue, which increased by 19% compared to the same quarter in 2016. Our New Zealand cinema revenue decreased by 14%, or approximately $885,000, mainly attributable to the temporary closure of the Courtenay Central Cinema due to the November 2016 earthquake. This was offset by the favorable impact from stronger foreign exchange rates. Our overall quarterly results reflect the continued implementation of our global cinema strategy. I'll touch on a few of these strategic initiatives. As I've mentioned in the past, presentation is paramount to our strategy of delivering best-in-class cinematic experiences to our guests. To that end, we deliver state-of-the-art presentation through our branded premium auditorium Titan XC, or IMAX, at select theaters. This past quarter's revenues benefited from the additions of three Titan screens, two in Hawaii and one in Melbourne, which continue to be the favored auditoriums in each cinema complex. On May 5, 2017, we converted one of our largest auditoriums at our Renning Cinemas at Grossmont Center in San Diego to a Titan XC screen. Our screen is one of the largest commercial screens in San Diego, and we installed an immersive Dolby Atmos sound system. We were pleased with the grosses of Guardians of the Galaxy over the weekend. Our strategic focus on food and beverage continues across each of our cinema divisions and is helping drive our performance. Our first quarter 2017 U.S. food and beverage per cap set a first quarter record at $4.55. Our U.S. F&B revenues increased by 5.8% over the same period last year. At Olino, our freshly prepared, locally inspired menu generated an F&B per cap of $7.78 for the first quarter. Our Angelika Carmel Mountain continues to perform well with a first quarter F&B per cap of $6.22. At the Ward Theater in Honolulu, our first quarter 2017 F&B per cap of $5.50 increased by 10.7% versus the same period last year. This was also the first full quarter of implementation of our liquor licenses and enhanced food menus at two of our theaters in San Diego. We enjoyed healthy increases in the first quarter per caps at each of these theaters. During the quarter, we were granted a liquor license at our Redding Cinema in Murrieta, California. We also secured liquor licenses at our Manville and Tower theaters and expect to be serving alcohol at the Tower in the second quarter of 2017. Our F&B revenues for our Australian circuit on a functional currency basis increased by 12% for the first quarter in 2017 compared to the same quarter last year. Due to attendance decreases as a result of the earthquake, the New Zealand food and beverage revenues on a functional currency basis declined 14% for the quarter year over year. Despite this decrease, New Zealand's first quarter F&B per capita still marked a record for the first quarter. We continue to be impressed with the online movie ticket sales generated from our own websites in all three countries. The ticket sales generated from our own websites increased by 103% over the first quarter in 2016. And further improvements in our social media engagement across Australia, New Zealand, and the U.S. is helping foster our own online ticket sales. By the end of the second quarter 2017, we'll launch our first ticketing app for one of our U.S. brands, with a view to launching apps for all global cinema brands by the end of the fourth quarter 2017. Also, by the end of the second quarter, we'll be implementing the sale of e-cards or electronic gift cards on our U.S. websites. Turning to our 2017 Cinema CapEx program. Throughout the first quarter, we progressed our top-to-bottom renovation plans for our Reading Cinema at Murrieta, California, and Reading Cinema at Manville, New Jersey, which collectively represent 29 screens. We also furthered the plans for the completion of the second phase of the consolidated theater renovation at the Ward Village. During the quarter, we also progressed the renovation plans for two Reading Cinemas in Australia, which represent 19 screens. These renovations, which are all targeted to be completed by the end of 2017, will include installing luxury recliner seating, adding or improving Titan screens, modifications to accommodate an enhanced F&B menu, and lobby design changes. In the U.S., we also hope to announce during the next quarter firm plans for the conversion of another Reading Cinemas to an Angelika Film Center. In March of 2017, we entered into an agreement to lease for a new 8-screen Reading Cinema at South City Square, which is an exciting mixed-use entertainment lifestyle project that's a quick drive from the heart of Brisbane in Australia. We're targeting an opening of this new theater by the end of 2019. In addition to this project, our board of directors has approved the development of two other new-build theaters in Australia and one additional new build in New Zealand. These new cinemas, representing an incremental 19 new screens, are expected to come online in 2019 and 2020. Also, our new 8-screen Reading Cinema at Newmarket Village, just outside of Brisbane, is well under construction. We're still targeting a fourth quarter 2017 opening. Turning now to our real estate business. Our first quarter 2017 consolidated real estate revenues decreased by 14% to $4.5 million, and our real estate segment operating income decreased by 38% to $1.3 million. These decreases were primarily attributable to the impacts related to the November 2016 Wellington earthquake, namely the demolition of the Torrey Street parking garage and the temporary closure of our Courtenay Central Retail Center, which included our Reading Cinema. Despite these recent timing setbacks, we are, if anything, more enthusiastic about our prospects in Wellington, a vibrant, energetic city with an inventive, artistic, and cultured population. The earthquake has in some ways given us a clean slate. Today, our Reading Cinemas at Courtenay Central is operating again and performing quite well. The land under our now-demolished parking garage offers 130 on-grade parking spots. We're working together with our consultant team, the City Council of Wellington, and Countdown, our supermarket tenant, on a comprehensive redesign of Courtenay Central. We believe that Countdown remains committed to our Courtenay Central redevelopment. Together with these stakeholders, we're exploring additional and incremental retail uses that will complement the center and the City of Wellington, and the better integration of our new supermarket tenant into the new parking garage and retail center. At the same time, we're planning to rebuild to higher code standards. We hope to have more to report in the next quarter. In the interim, next quarter, our real estate team will launch a pop-up food and entertainment concept at Courtenay Central, the Courtyard, By offering short-term leases to creative and interesting tenants, we hope the Courtyard will keep our space active and compelling during our transitional period. Turning to Newmarket Village in Brisbane, Australia. Construction is well underway on our state-of-the-art 8-screen Reading Cinema with Titan Auditorium, new 10,000-square-foot dining precinct, and parking mezzanine. We're still targeting a fourth quarter 2017 opening. With the help of Jones Lang LaSalle, to date we've signed letters of intent for 4 restaurants that we think will start shaping an eclectic and quality mix of F&B offers. Our goal is to add 8 restaurant tenants to the newly constructed dining precinct under the Reading Cinema. We're also planning the upgrade of the existing center with the help of our architects, together with a leading placemaking consultant. At Redyard in Auburn, just outside of Sydney, we recently opened Chicago Jones Coffee and Chocolate Maison, a newly constructed tenant adding incremental rental revenue and income. 2 additional incremental dining tenancies, Red Rooster and Oporto, are now under construction and will come online in the fourth quarter of 2017. Turning to our 44 Union Square project in New York City. As we mentioned on the last call, during the first quarter, we executed our construction management agreement with an affiliate of CMY, which includes a guaranteed maximum price. Today, our project is a construction site. As we progress through the construction process, our conversations with potential retail tenants is encouraging. 44 Union Square is a one-of-a-kind retail flagship opportunity. Newmark, our exclusive agent, is in conversations with a number of globally recognized, creditworthy retailers, including online retailers looking for a brick-and-mortar presence in New York City. As these discussions progress, we're also continuing to evaluate whether a single retail tenant or up to 4 separate retailers would deliver the most value for the company and its stockholders. As brokers present the property and field offers from qualified tenants, we'll make this determination based on the aggregate demand and optimal long-term value of the property. We remain optimistic about the quality and creditworthiness of the tenants that will eventually occupy 44 Union Square. Our development and leasing teams indicate that the delivery of the space to future retail tenants for fit-out during the second quarter of 2018 remains on track. Regarding the office component of the project, throughout the first quarter, potential office tenants and brokers walk through the site every week. That being said, our leasing efforts will officially be launched during the third quarter of this year. In connection with the December 2016 completion of our $57.5 million in construction financing, a new appraisal reinforced the value creation potential for the redevelopment. Once our retail and office leasing is completed in 2018, we believe that we will achieve an even more significant increase in value for our stockholders. Overall, we're pleased with our results this quarter and the progress we're making on our strategic plan. We believe we remain well positioned to drive long-term value for all Reading stockholders. With that, I'll turn the call over to Dev for a financial review of the first quarter.
Thank you, Ellen. Now I'll discuss the financial results for 2017's first quarter. As Ellen mentioned, our first quarter operating revenue and operating income set records as the highest for any first quarter in the company's history. Consolidated revenues for the first quarter 2017 increased by 7% to a record $69.5 million. This was mainly attributed to improved admissions and increased food and beverage revenues in our cinema businesses. Notably, this was attained in spite of the closure of Courtenay Central and ETC due to the November 2016 earthquake. Net income increased by $0.8 million to $3 million for the first quarter of 2017. As a result, EPS increased by 3 cents due to 1, a 46% increase in our segment operating income in our Australian cinema operations due to attendance increases and higher F&B revenues, 2, foreign currency gain recognized on short-term intercompany loans, and 3, an offset from the impact of the temporary closure of our Courtenay Central cinema. I will discuss the impact of the closure of Courtenay Central and the foreign currency gain a bit later in my remarks. Our non-segment general and administrative expenses for the quarter decreased by 0.24 million to 4.75 million. This reduction is primarily due to the additional expenses paid in 2016 for the 2015 year-end audit, which reduction was offset by approximately 645,000 incurred during the quarter on legal expenses for the derivative case and the James Cotter Jr. employment matters. Income tax expense for the 3 months ended March 31, 2017 increased by 0.47 million or 38% due to a significant increase in pre-tax income. Year over year, our income tax rate remained consistent at just under 36%. Shifting to cash flows, our net cash provided by operations for the quarter was 0.31 million, which is a 4.1 million decrease from the same period in 2016. A 1.9 million increase in operational cash flows due to better operating results was more than offset by higher cash outflows for expenses relating to film rent and legal expenses that had been accrued in prior periods. In regards to our investing activities, we used 10.9 million in cash primarily for real estate developments and cinema enhancements for the quarter, which we believe will add value in future periods, and for a partial payment towards the demolition costs of the Courtenay Central car park. The cinema projects are consistent with the strategic priorities Ellen has mentioned in prior earnings calls regarding investing in developing best-in-class cinematic experiences to our guests. Making these investments provides us with the opportunity to earn higher returns. For the quarter, we repaid borrowings of $12.9 million and had additional borrowings of $16.1 million. Turning now to our financial position, our operating assets increased by 4.66 million to 410.4 million, which was primarily driven by increases in our operating and investment properties during the quarter and the benefit of higher exchange rates. Our cash and cash equivalents decreased by 8 million as we used excess funds to reduce borrowings. We manage our cash, investments, and capital structure so we are able to meet short-term and long-term obligations for our business while maintaining financial flexibility and liquidity. Our liquidity position remains strong with 11 million of cash on our balance sheet at March 31st, 2017, and approximately 116 million of additional capacity under our borrowing arrangements in the US, Australia, and New Zealand, with almost 54 million of that 116 million being unrestricted capacity. We have worked with Westpac Bank regarding our primary line of credit in New Zealand and pushed out the maturity to December 31, 2018 from March 31, 2018, which postpones the facility become current until the end of this year. In the meantime, we are working with Westpac on a replacement line of credit that will take into account construction financing needs related to the redevelopment of Courtenay Central. The closure, demolition of our parking structure, and re-evaluation of our Courtenay Central property has had a significant impact on Reading. The year-over-year impact from the closure of Courtenay Central was approximately 5 cents a share, which was a significant drag to our earnings for the quarter. In April 2017, our insurance company completed their examination of our insurance claim regarding the parking building damage and business interruption, and we expect to receive a final settlement of $20 million US by the end of the second quarter of 2017. This will effectively reach the policy maximum of 25 million US for the loss event. As we expect that our incurred losses will be fully covered by the impending final insurance settlement, this provided us the basis to reclassify our recorded insurance recoverable asset from a non-current to a current asset on our balance sheet. While we generally conduct business mostly on a self-funding basis in our various geographies, we may decide to move funds between jurisdictions when expedient. We are now using approximately 20 million US from Reading Australia through the repayment of intercompany loans to that entity from Reading International as a mechanism to borrow less money for the mezzanine credit facility for the development of our Union Square project. This gives us a notional all-in interest savings of approximately 10%. The classification of such short-term intercompany loan, to short-term requires us to account for any exchange rate variations, which were approximately 800,000, which had to be recorded in income for the quarter. This is all attributable to the strengthening of the Australian dollar versus the US dollar. As of March 31st, 2017, we have debt outstanding of $153 million, and our debt-to-EBITDA ratio, excluding debt allocated to facilities under construction and development, which are not generating any EBITDA, to 3.0 times. On March 6, 2017, we announced that our board of directors had authorized a stock purchase program to buy back up to 25 million of Reading's non-voting common stock. Thus far, we have repurchased $670,000 worth of our Class A non-voting common stock during the quarter. We have not purchased any shares since March, as we have been in our quarter-end quiet period. Lastly, as part of the sale agreement for our Burwood property in Australia, we are projected to receive 44.7 million US on or before the end of December 31st, 2017. Of this amount, there is the potential to receive a prepayment of 16.7 million US on the basis of a partial sale of the property, with a balance of 28 million US being due by December 31st, 2017. Before I turn the call back to Andre, I wanted to call attention to a minor discrepancy in our recently filed earnings release. The first quarter EBITDA of 10.5 million did not represent a record first quarter in our company's history, as was noted in the sub-headline of the press release. The first quarter EBITDA was actually our second highest first quarter on record. We will be filing an amended 8K that will reflect this change. With that, I'll now turn the call back to Andre.
Thanks, Dev. First, I'd like to thank our stockholders for forwarding questions to our investor relations email. We were very pleased with the number of inquiries we received. We have compiled a set of questions and answers that represents the most common questions and recurring themes that were emailed to us. As always, we are available after the webcast to address any additional questions and encourage you to continue reaching out. Our first question, is the buyback underway? How many shares did you repurchase during the quarter? And why haven't you been more aggressive on the stock buyback? This question I can field. In early 2017, the Reading Board authorized a stock repurchase program to repurchase up to 25 million of Reading shares, as Dev has already mentioned. This was the largest stock repurchase authorized in the company's history. The program demonstrates our confidence in the business plan, our future prospects, and our commitment to driving value for stockholders. In just the month of March 2017, before the close of the trading window, the company repurchased 41,899 shares of Class A common stock at an average price of $15.99 per share. Excluding transaction costs, Reading spent $670,000 on these share repurchases. The company was in the market for only 7 days in March 2017. We further note that the company is subject to the technical rules of the SEC and NASDAQ that limit the timing and number of shares that can be purchased. The company chose not to be in the market during the period when we closed the window for trading by our insiders. We prefer to maintain the flexibility in making buyback decisions rather than adopting a 10b5-1 plan. Our board will continue to regularly review the company's capital allocation priorities to maintain the appropriate level of strategic investments in our cinemas and real estate development projects, while also using our stock repurchase authorization to return capital directly to stockholders. The second question we received, what are the next investment conferences Reading plans to present at, and what additional proactive steps will the company take to attract both sell-side analysts and buy-side investors to the company? Dev, would you like to field this?
Thanks, Andre. This year, we are currently slated to present at three investor conferences, two B. Riley conferences, one in May in Los Angeles and one in September in New York, and the Gabelli Media Conference in New York that's scheduled for early June. In addition to Eric Wald at B. Riley, the company's first ever sell-side analyst, Andre and I continue to have regular conversations with other sell-side analysts to encourage them to initiate coverage of our company. Also, by the end of the year, we will look to participate in at least one other non-deal roadshow. We continue to communicate our value proposition to the market and look forward to keeping stockholders updated on our progress.
Thanks, Dev. Our next question, could you comment on the latest industry discussions about the changes to the theatrical window? Ellen?
Yeah, discussions about the theatrical window have been ongoing for years. The world has definitely changed with the ease of content delivery and the strength of Netflix and Amazon. We believe that exhibition and distribution have a mutually shared interest in protecting the revenue stream from the theatrical window. Just domestically, in each of the last 2 years, the major studios generated over $11 billion in box office revenue. If you add in the international markets, the industry generated box office revenues in excess of $38 billion for each of the last 2 years. Conversations between certain major studios and exhibitors are taking place. The conversations reflect the complexity of the situation. We think it will take time to work out a rational solution to a changing content world. However, we believe that any changes that may occur to the theatrical window will be made in a way that protects the overall exhibition industry. As leading exhibitors in the U.S., Australia, and New Zealand, our focus continues to be on the creation of a compelling cinema experience to take our guests out of their homes and into our theaters.
Thanks, Ellen. We received some questions on Manukau. What is the status of Manukau? How will you develop the property? Ellen, would you like to do this one as well?
Yeah, thanks, Andre. The appraisals that we've received on Manukau and the level of interest in the property since our successful rezoning indicate, in our view, that we've doubled the book value of our Manukau properties. We're continuing to explore our options in Manukau and continue to see the property as a future value realization opportunity for Reading.
Thanks, Ellen. We did receive some questions on our first quarter performance in the U.S. It did not appear to be as strong as the Q1 2016, despite a new theater opening in Hawaii. Ellen, would you like to address this?
Yes. So our U.S. cinema operating income during the first quarter of 2017 was essentially flat with last year, or off by $48,000. If you calculate our operating margins before depreciation, amortization, and G&A, they were flat as compared to the same period in 2016. Overall, our U.S. theaters across the circuit perform really well, but certain theaters on the island of Oahu were negatively impacted by a few factors. I'll go through them. First, this past quarter was the first full quarter of operation on the island of Oahu of two new state-of-the-art theaters featuring all recliner seating. One of these theaters was our own Olino. Moviegoers on Oahu overwhelmingly responded to the introduction of recliner seating. These new theaters definitely impacted the surrounding theaters on Oahu, three of which were consolidated theaters. Preparing for this potential impact, our three-year strategy contemplates the top-to-bottom renovations, including recliner installations of two of these theaters. These renovations should be completed during 2018 and 2019. Our consolidated theater at the Ward Village in Honolulu was also negatively impacted by the loss of convenient parking due to the improvements being made to the overall Ward Village by our landlord, Howard Hughes. We're currently working through those issues with our landlord. Also note that the completion of Phase 2 of the renovation of this consolidated theater should be completed by the year end. In the first quarter of 2016, our Oahu theaters represented over 35% of the overall U.S. cinema's total revenues. So, in this past quarter, having the revenues of four Oahu theaters negatively impacted, each of which has a certain level of fixed operating expense that cannot be adjusted, in fact dampened what could have been a staggering quarter on an income basis for the U.S. cinema division.
Thanks, Ellen. Dev, can you provide an update on the litigation with James A. Cotter Jr. and when we expect these matters to be resolved?
Sure. Thanks, Andre. With respect to the Cotter Jr. derivative action, we believe that discovery is substantially complete. However, due to the pendency of various appeals to the Nevada Supreme Court, no trial date has been calendared. The Cotter Jr. employment arbitration is also in the discovery phase. Regarding the trust litigation in the California Supreme Court amongst Ellen, Margaret, and James Cotter Jr., we understand that evidence has been submitted and closing arguments should occur in August 2017 with respect to the validity of the 2014 trust amendment. The resolution of this matter is anticipated to resolve the issue of who votes the Class B voting stock held by the trust. For further disclosure related to these matters, we refer you back to our latest 10K and 10Q filings.
Thanks, Dev. So we come to our last question, which I can field. What is the status of leasing out the unused corporate headquarters space in our new 5995 Sepulveda building? When will the G&A reflect the $350,000 annual run rate savings from the net leasing revenues? Well, in February 2017, we relocated our corporate headquarters into the 24,000 square foot Culver City office building, which we purchased in April 2016. We currently use approximately 50% of the leasable area for our corporate headquarters. We made more improvements to the building than we originally anticipated, with most of the improvements to be completed this quarter. Our intention is to remarket the unoccupied space to potential Culver City office tenants. While there was tenant interest in this space, in our judgment, waiting for the further improvements to be completed and relaunching the leasing effort in this second quarter will ultimately generate better lease returns. Once completed, we'll enjoy the G&A savings. We now anticipate savings being experienced by the fourth quarter 2018 or first quarter 2019. We'll report to you once the leasing is completed with revised potential savings. So, as that was the last question, I'll wrap up the call. As always, Dev, Ellen, and I are available to answer questions you may have going forward. We appreciate you listening to the call today and look forward to keeping you updated on our performance on future earnings calls and through our ongoing communications. Thank you.
Thank you.